All of the newest episodes of Note to Self are now available on the Luminary podcast app. It's free to download, and you can also listen to other podcasts from WNYC studios like Radiolab, Two Dope Queens, Snap Judgment, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, and others. Luminary Premium is the only place where you can enjoy the entire new season of Note to Self, plus new original podcasts you won't find anywhere else, from Trevor Noah, Roxane Gay, Guy Raz, Lena Dunham, and many more. And you can enjoy them ad-free. Start your free trial by going to luminary.link/note to self or download the Luminary app for free.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
This is New Tech City, WNYC's new weekly look at how technology is changing the way New Yorkers live and work. I'm Anoush Zamarodi. New Tech City is making its debut during a week with some big tech news. Tomorrow, Apple's expected to unveil the iPhone 5, and you can expect to see long lines outside those Apple stores once the phone goes on sale. A third of us already own a smartphone, and as that number grows, so will the need for more engineers to create all the operating systems and apps that run our gadgets. But there's a problem. Software engineering and IT jobs are among the hardest to fill because there just aren't enough well-trained people. And the government predicts the number of software developer jobs will surge by 30% this decade. So here in New York, some tech industry bigwigs are partnering with the Department of Education. They're hoping to cultivate a new generation of coders. They're opening a high school specifically for software engineering. The goal is to have 500 students enrolled in 4 years. For now, there are about 130 students in the first class of ninth graders. I spent the first day of school with them.
424. Okay.
So we're near Union Square at the Academy for Software Engineering. It's based inside the Washington Irving High School, which is actually being phased out.
My name is Sing Yu. I'm the principal interim acting for the Academy for Software Engineering.
I read in some of the literature that the idea is that kids think like coders. What does that mean, to think like a coder?
That's really problem solving. It's figuring out how to do things better, maybe more efficiently. And that's really what we're trying to teach here. We want kids to be problem solvers. One of the things that we have is we have an advisory board made up of industry partners. And these individuals are helping us with our curriculum and telling us specifically the things, skill sets, the types of knowledge that students could use or would need to be successful in their career. So them lending their expertise, I think, is an amazing opportunity for us to find out how do we get these students to be successful. So this is our computer science lab. We have all iMac desktops.
When you're talking to these kids this first day and you're saying, you know, I don't know, maybe you're throwing on the word like Java, like how many of them know that that's not coffee?
I think many of them just thought video games and computers and really don't know the depth of it, which is nice because at this point we get to introduce them to a whole different world.
So as we walk around the corridor that makes up the school, it's only 8 rooms total, we see lots of pretty average-looking ninth graders. But we can't help but wonder, is the next Mark Zuckerberg in our midst?
Well, I'm really interested about learning about coding and stuff because I like use this website and you make your blog and... like, you can edit the coding and stuff.
I wouldn't mind making a software like OS X Mountain Lion or something in that field, but I like the idea of making apps.
I want to come to this school because it's a great opportunity. It's one that I'm pretty sure it is the only one in New York that consists of a software engineering base.
My name's Leanne DeLizer. I'm the computer science curriculum consultant.
Is this something that you feel like the Department of Education is well placed to capitalize on?
In a time when we have more jobs than people to fill them, we're seeing a decline in interest because of lack of knowledge about what it means to be a computer scientist, because the lack of information from guidance counselors who they themselves don't know what it means to be a computer scientist. And I think New York City is well placed, not just through this school, but through the entire system, to really turn around what secondary education communicates about computer science and help students choose it as a college major to prepare them to be successful in this country.
The school's administrators are studying the first class of students to figure out the curriculum. Since admission is by lottery and not based on testing, they have no idea what academic skills these kids have, on what grade level they're reading or doing math. They say it's not a vocational school. And when the first class graduates in 2016, the hope is that most of the students will go off to college or, at the very least, be well qualified for an entry-level computing job. New York is becoming a center for online learning and education tech, in large part because so many of the academic publishers are based here. But how do the companies building classroom technology actually figure out what works? And how do teachers learn to use these new educational tools? Betsy Corcoran is a tech journalist turned entrepreneur and founder of the website EdSurge. She's trying to bring together the tech education community and teachers to figure out what works best in the classroom. Betsy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what are some of the big trends that you're seeing in schools right now?
A really powerful trend for technology is how do we use the technology to really tailor learning to the interests and to the abilities of this wonderful sort of spectrum of kids that we see in the schools. There's another trend as well, which is that a lot of people worry about the kids who've kind of gotten left behind somehow, kids who are really challenged in either learning, in math, in reading, and how can we, are there tools that can either re-engage them, can really help them get over some of those in some cases, really huge achievement gaps?
And are we finding that technology can do that, that it can help kids catch up?
We know that technology is no silver bullet, that there is not one single answer. But I think that we're starting to see some very powerful test cases where things are working well.
Is there any downside to getting so much tech into the classroom?
Yeah, sure. I mean, first off, you can build bad tech, too. I mean, don't kid yourself. It's not easy to build really great technology. And crappy technology is not going to help anyone and is not going to, you know, help kids learn. For all the hoopla around technology, at the end of the day, we know that it's teachers, people who inspire kids, not gadgets.
All this tech in the classroom is sort of making for a new mix of public education and for-profit ventures. Should we beware of these people who want to profit from public education?
I think that there will always be a tension between for-profits and education. I think that for-profits can make some terrific contributions, but I think it's fair to say we also need to keep an eye on what everybody is doing.
Betsy Corcoran, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate your time.
So you've just listened to the first New Tech City. And as we go forward reporting on how tech is changing New Yorkers' lives, tell us what you'd like to hear covered. Go to our website, wnyc.org/tech, or follow us on Twitter. I'm Anoush Samarodi. This is New Tech City from WNYC.